From the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. Nehemiah, chapter 4. Make me successful. Continuing our study of the book of Nehemiah. And just as a reminder to all, and if this is your first Sunday, just so you know, our quest is to be successful. But it's not to be a worldly success. Okay? We can have all the money that we want. We can have all the fame and fortune that we could ever desire. We could have the perfect job and still not have that peace that passes understanding. And so what we're talking about in our quest for success, we're talking about a spiritual success. And we're patterning after the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem led by the man Nehemiah. And so today we look at Nehemiah chapter 4. And we're going to begin by reading the first three verses. Would you stand with me as we read from God's precious and holy word? But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones of from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." Let us again pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for the opportunity to grow from your word. Now take it and apply it to every life as you deem needed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 6, and we didn't read this, but I'm going to share it with you at this point. In verse 6, it says the people had a mind to work. I just like the sound of that, don't you? The people had a mind to work. And that sounds really good, but I want you to grasp what that means, okay? That word mind that it's talking about there is talking about the inner man, all right? And it's talking about a determination. The children of Israel had determined within themselves that no matter the circumstance, no matter what got in the way, they were going to do the work that God had called them to do, which was rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. No matter what. And that's what this means when it says the people had a mind to work. They were determined. Listen, if you're going to be successful in the kingdom of God, if you're going to be a spiritual success, you're going to have a mad dog determination that no matter what happens, no matter the circumstance, you are going to be found fulfilling your call in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're going to have to be determined. And that's going to require a mindset. A mindset, number one, to be thick-skinned. Number two, to stand up against all threats. And number three, to stand together. And we're going to start by being thick-skinned. Now, I'm not talking about being calloused here, okay? I'm talking about not wearing your feelings on your sleeves. And this is a perfect example in chapter 4. The enemy was just mean. They were just mean. They were mad. They were mocking. Sanballat, the enemy of the children of Israel at this point, heard that the wall was being rebuilt. And apparently that was his hot button. For some reason, he could not stand the fact to think that the Jews were prospering and rebuilding the wall. And so he unleashed his anger. And you know how he did it? He did it with his mouth. He did it by mocking. He said, "What are these feeble Jews doing?" You can just see the sarcasm and the disdain. You know, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices again? Will they complete this project in a day? Will they revive the stones from burned rubble?" Then Tobiah, his buddy, jumped in. He said, why, even if a fox were to walk across their wall, it would break that wall to the ground. And you know how softly a fox and gracefully a fox would walk, right? You know, you get this picture that it's like kids on a playground. And I want you to understand how hurtful this was. The children of Israel, they're putting their hearts into this project of rebuilding the wall. They're using all their strength, all their resources. They're pouring themselves out in completing this project. And you've got smart alecks on the side of the wall, pointing, sneering, laughing, and making fun. Like I say, kind of like bullies on a playground. And I want you, the first thing, in this chapter, as we examine success and the mindset of success, I'm going to remind you that you're going to have to be thick-skinned if you're going to be a kingdom success because of the power of a poison tongue. Have you ever noticed? Am I the only one who's gotten this? But have you ever noticed? Some people just have a big mouth. Amen. Amen. Some people just don't know when to hush. Some people just, you know, they just need to keep quiet. But it never dawns on them that they just need to be quiet. And it's these people that if you're not careful, the poison that they speak will just tear you apart. Look in James chapter 3 and verses 3. It says, indeed, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships, although they are large, they're driven by fierce winds. They're turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Again, people have a big mouth. And I can stand here today and I can tell you, y'all don't say hurtful things. Don't say mean things. Yeah. You think it'd do any good? What's going to happen is you're going to go out and you're going to serve. And even though the majority may have a loving heart and a loving spirit and have loving words for you, there's some bozo that's going to open his mouth and point his finger and try to tear you down. You just have to be ready for it. Why? Because they can't seem to control their hateful, hurtful speech. You cannot allow what people like that say to ruin who you are and what you're called to do in the Lord. Okay? You cannot do it. You've got to be willing to take a stand in spite of people like that. Because sometimes people are accidentally going to speak and say something hurtful. Do you ever do that? The mouth just jumps into gear before the brain does and poof, it comes out. And you wish you could get it back, but it's gone. And it's out there and people heard it. I mean, we all do that every once in a while. You're going to get that. You're going to get those people who are just mean. I think I mentioned before, sometimes, do you ever look at Facebook? Why are people so negative? Why do people try to be hateful on Facebook? You know, I mean, that's just silly. But they do. And it's not just people out in the world. Do you realize it happens in churches? Do you realize churches speak bad of other churches? Always those churches that are growing are always a target. Oh, they're unscriptural over there at that other church. Well, why are they unscriptural? Well, because they're growing. And I've heard preachers say, well, we're not growing because we have the truth and people can't handle the truth. No, you're not growing because nobody wants to go there. Because your mean, hateful, spiteful attitude. You know? Listen, Put on that thick spiritual skin. Expect people to be negative about you. You know, even preachers talk about preachers. I mean, we're not immune, either from receiving or giving it out. I've heard preachers make the statement, he's one of those charismatic preachers. You know, and they don't know what they're saying. You know what where that word charismatic comes from? Comes from the Greek kairos. You know what that means? Grace. Grace. God's favor. Listen, I want to be a favorite of God preacher, don't you? But they do it in a negative way, trying to hurt. Don't listen to that. Kids, young people, there always has to be some big dummy in your class who thinks it's his job to belittle everybody else so that they can look bigger. Realize those people for what they are. They're dummies who have a big mouth. But do not take to heart what those people say. They may make fun of the way you look. They may make fun of the way you act. Don't take that to heart. They don't know any better. They have a poison tongue. And they do not decide who you are in Christ Jesus. Do you realize if you're a child of God, as Paul put it, we are accepted in the beloved. And if we are accepted in the beloved, that is all the acceptance we need. Do not let people with a big mouth tear you down in what you're doing in the Lord Jesus Christ, or who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanballat. Oh, he was mean. But you know what? He was right. He called them feeble Jews. He was right. They were feeble Jews. But the thing he didn't realize is they might have been feeble Jews, but they served a mighty God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said to me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Do you realize those things that, yeah, you may fall short in. You may be weak in. That's okay. Those are the things that God uses the greatest. Because that's where His strength kicks in. Put on your thick skin. Don't let people tear you down by what they say. You are a child of God. You are accepted in the beloved. Then, stand up against the threats. Stand up against the threats. We're going to read some more. Verses 10 through 14. The threats elevate here. From talking to, okay, we're going to put a stop to you. Then Judas said, the strength of the laborers is failing. And there is so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families and with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, to rest and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, and your wives, and your houses. Listen, there's 2 kinds of threats you have to be aware of. First threat is being overwhelmed by the work. As you read here in verse 10, they came to Nehemiah and they said, the strength of our laborers are failing. There's so much rubbish, we're not able to build the wall. That failing strength that it's talking about literally in the Hebrew, it means a tottering strength. Or have you ever used the phrase or heard somebody say, I'm weak-kneed or my legs feel like jelly? These people were working so hard that literally their legs were giving. They were just tired. There was so much rubbish, it was come to the point that they couldn't continue. And now they're at that breaking point, thinking, hey, this is too much. What do we do? But their problem was not building the wall. That wasn't the problem. The problem was the rubbish that was in the way. Now, what do you do? What do you do when the job gets overwhelming? When it just looks like there's more than you can bear? Well, my friends, what you do is you get rid of the rubbish. Okay? They're going to have to stop and they're going to have to clean out the junk so they can build the wall. What are you talking about, Brother Doug? Well, this. Okay? The first threat is when you're overwhelmed. Back up. Take a look and see what you're overwhelmed by. Is it the work or is it the rubbish? The rubbish that I'm talking about. I mean, we're so active. And we're living in a day when there's so much going on that sometimes we get stretched as far as we can be stretched. I've got to be here tonight and somewhere else tomorrow night, and we've got ball games the next night, and we've got practices the next night, and I'm a member of this civic organization, and on it goes, you know? You have to back up and you have to decide what's the work and what's the rubbish. Let me offer you this. If it's getting in the way of your service to the Lord, it's rubbish. Okay? I mean, we're living in an age where church is now taking a back seat to everything, and your spiritual commitment to the Lord is now taking a back seat to everything. There was a day when they didn't dare have, and you're not going to like this, but I love you. There was a day when they didn't dare have ball practices on Wednesday nights and Sundays. Okay? You know what? If they did, guess what? We wouldn't have went. We'd have stood up to that threat. But what has happened now is every day of the week is filled with stuff to the point that it drains us so much that we don't have time for the Lord. And I'll offer you this. If we'd quit taking our children to those practices during church times, they'd quit having them. Okay? Take it from an old guy. I'm not trying to be mean and ornery. Take it from somebody that's been there and done that, okay? I've tried to do it all. I've figured it out. There's a bunch of junk that just keeps us so busy that we can't serve the Lord. And what we have to do is address that threat. Don't allow it to get overwhelming to us to the point where God's service suffers. We've got to be willing to remove the things that get in the way. We've got to be willing to take a stand when we're threatened to be overran by the enemy. Okay? Now, we're going to take the next step. Sometimes we're just threatened. And what has happened here in the text is they've gone from mocking to, well, the mocking didn't work, so we're going to physically put a stop to it. We're going to stop it. We're going to overrun them, and we will physically kill you, they said, and the work will stop. And it worried the people. It worried the people because over and over they come back to Nehemiah and they say, oh, you know, they're going to overrun us, and we're working and our minds are on working, and they say they're going to catch us off guard and overwhelm us. So Nehemiah said, I position men. I set men with their swords, with their spears, and with their bows. And then I love Nehemiah 14. He encouraged them. And he said, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the leaders and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Listen. There is a time when it is appropriate to take a stand. Okay? I'm not talking about being contrary, and I'm not talking about always looking for a fight. So much of the things that people fight with today are not even worth the effort. But there is a time when you must take a stand. And when that time comes, be ready to stand for right. Be ready to stand for Jesus Christ. When that time comes, remember, and I love the way he put it, because they were being threatened. They were a little afraid. And he said, hey, wait a minute. Remember the Lord, your Lord. It's not your battle. It is Christ's battle. Don't be afraid. Your strength is in Jesus Christ. Your strength is in your Lord. And then, remember the Lord. Listen, if you're fighting battles and the Lord's not the focus of what you're, you know, of the reason you're fighting, you're probably fighting the wrong battle. Okay? If you're not fighting to serve, if you're not fighting to honor and to glorify God, you're probably fighting the wrong battle. Remember the Lord. Then two, fight. Fight for your families. I dare say we're coming to a day in our nation where as Christians we're going to have to take a stand. We're coming to a day where we will apologize to the Muslims because we might have hurt their feelings. But we declare, our government declares, that they don't want God in any part of our society. That is a sad day. And we are coming to a point where it's going to try to be controlled of how you raise your children and how you teach your children in the Lord. And when it comes to that day, let me encourage you, take your stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are commanded to raise our children and our family in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We're commanded to teach them about the awesome God that we serve. Do not cop out to that old mentality of, well, I'm letting my children make their own decisions. No, they're kids. You're supposed to teach them. It's called parenting. Teach them the right way. And when that way is threatened, take a stand. No. It is my God-given right to worship my God and to teach my children about our awesome God. Take your stand for your family. Fight for your family. You know, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. There's one way that you can stir me up. And that's mess with my family. And I think we're all in that boat. Amen? Amen. Listen, Satan's after your family. He's threatening your family. You be ready to take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ready to take your stand for your church family. There are people who think it's their job to stir up a church with problems. And they do it by having a big mouth. Amen? You know the kind of people that I'm talking about. And I'm not preaching this today because, well, I'm preaching this today because I feel led of the Lord to preach it. Okay? It's not pointed at anything or anyone. And I'm not aware of anything or anyone. I'd rather preach it when I'm not aware of anything or anyone, to tell you the truth. Okay? But listen, there are people who are not happy unless they're stirring up strife. When those kind of people approach you, take your stand. Don't let them stir up your church family. Do not let them attack your pastor. Do not let them attack your associate pastor. Do not let them attack your Sunday school teacher. Do not let them attack your youth group. Do not let them attack any ministry of your church family. Why? Because it's your church family. And every once in a while, as members of the Lord's church, we just have to take a stand and say, no, we don't allow that here. When we're threatened, there comes a time when, yeah, it's appropriate just to turn your back because it's not worth messing with. But there's also a time when it's appropriate to stand and say, whoa, Satan, you can't have that. That's God-given. Then, finally, stand together. Verses 19 and 20 of this same chapter. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Finally, stand together. Stand together. I want to point out to you, they were a scattered people in their work. Okay? Everyone was working on their part of the wall, and they're all dealing with this threat. So they're working with a sword in one hand and a hammer in the other, and they're working. Okay? But the wall of Jerusalem was a big wall. And so they're all scattered out. And if the enemy were to attack and focus his attack on one area, I mean, they could be overran pretty quickly. So Nehemiah, he set men in place, but he come up with the idea knowing that if something didn't happen, they would be overrun. He come up with the idea, listen, everybody, when you hear the trumpet, that means there's an attack. And when you hear the trumpet blowing, everybody drop what you're doing and rally to the trumpet. I can see it now. Can't you? I mean, this is so cool. I can see it. The trumpet blows and they're like a beehive. You know, they're all scattered out all of a sudden. But when that trumpet blows, man, everybody runs to where that trumpet is. Have you ever gotten bees before? I'll tell you, it's hard to get stung once. You know why? Because those little rascals, I don't know what their trumpet signal is, but they've got a signal that if one attacks you and one feels threatened, he sends out that signal, you're going to be fighting a bunch of them. Okay? That's why it's so hard to get stung one time. Maybe walking through clover or something, but you know, if you disturb the hive, you're going to get them all. And that's what Nehemiah is saying to the Israelites. Oh, listen. Listen. This is our plan of strength. If you get one of us, you get us all. When you hear that trumpet sound, you pick up your sword and you run just as fast as you can run to where the attack is happening. Listen, when you think about it, we're pretty scattered as a church. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in just a factual way. You know, after today, we'll worship today, but Monday, everybody will go to their different, we'll all go to our different homes, and we'll all go to our, you know, you'll all go to your different jobs. You'll all have different things going on, and we'll all go our separate ways. But even when we come back, we're pretty scattered. I mean, we've got some that's working with the teens. We got others that are working with the Awanas. We've got others that are working with senior adults. We've got Sunday school classes all over, you know, just different things going on in different directions. And it's all good. It's all good. But my friends, it's just a fact of the work that as we work, we get scattered. You know, we get to working on our section of the wall. And we can just plan for an attack. And when that attack comes, I promise you, you'll hear the trumpet blow. It may not be a literal trumpet, but you'll hear. There's a need in our teens. There's a need in our seniors. There's something going on. And when you hear that, my friends, we are the family of God. We are members of the body of Christ, one of another. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one is in need, the whole church is in need. And when you hear that trumpet, when you hear that threat, you come running so that when Satan stands and fights against one of us, he's going to get stung by all of us. because we're going to stand together. I thought, wow, that's so cool. With Nehemiah, the way he did that. Everybody's ready. Can you imagine? Those are my brothers over there. And if you want to get to them, you're going to have to go through me. I like that mentality. Listen, Victory Membership, I love you. And I want to challenge you. We are members of the body of Christ. And when Satan attacks one of us, let him face all of us. Because he's got to go through me to get to you. You to get to me. Us to get to them. There's strength. There is strength in numbers. When he messes with one of us, let him know he's messing with all of us. Got to be willing. To be a spiritual success, you've got to be willing to take a stand where stands are needed. To be a spiritual success, and I didn't give you this a while ago. So I'm going to back up, okay? As we're standing together, let us remember the identifying quality of who we are. Jesus said, "By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let us love one another. Let us stand for one another. Let us take a stand when God's kingdom work is threatened. Now, to be a spiritual success, you've got to start on a spiritual journey. Okay? You've got to be saved. I want to ask you this question. Are you a child of God? If not, today. Today's the day. Can be the greatest day of your life. The day that you ask Jesus Christ to save you. And when you walk out of here, you can have the assurance of knowing that heaven is your eternal home. And isn't it great having a hope that extends beyond this life? Isn't that awesome? This life is not all there is. If it were, we'd be of all men most miserable. But God has prepared a place for His children, eternal in the heavens that'll never pass away. Do you have that assurance? If not, today's the day. Will you come? Will you receive Jesus Christ? We're going to have a verse of invitation. Will you come and give your life to Jesus during this invitation? Maybe you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church or to make another commitment. Whatever your spiritual commitment is, we'd encourage you, say yes to Jesus. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace and blessing. We thank you, Lord, for the strength that is in you. Help us, Lord, to be strong. Help us to take stands where stands are needed. Help us as a church family to stand for one another. For we wrestle against principalities and powers in high places. Lord, we need your strength to take our stands. And Heavenly Father, I pray that as we come to this invitation, that you will touch hearts, that you will convict of sin, that you, Lord Jesus, will move among us, and that we, Lord Jesus, will simply say yes to your direction. In Jesus' name I pray.